As we are returning to our seats tonight, we're grabbing our Bibles and we're opening up to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 26. Proverbs 22 and verse number 26. And when you found it, if you're able, if you would stand with me together tonight, out of respect for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, please say it in unison with me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, again, as we have a few minutes now to gather around your word, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us open hearts, Father, open ears, Father, that we would not only hear, but heed what we hear tonight. Father, I pray that you would help equip us tonight to do a work for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So tonight we're going to be back in Family Matters. And this is going to be our last installment of this for now. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be heading into the holidays. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We'll have a praise service and a communion service. And we've got some special things coming up in the month of December as well. And really, I like the unity and cohesiveness of what we do. So we're going to take a break from this for a few weeks because I really like to do these 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row to build on those things that we're talking about. But tonight we'll be here and we'll be rounding out our teaching on training. Now, by way of review, a few principles, and I think these are solid things for us as parents and as people that God has given influence to really mark down and live on purpose. Number one, when we talk about the idea of training, it inherently invokes the idea of authority. And so here's the first principle by way of review, that we as parents should determine to be the greatest shaping influence in our child's life. That we as parents should determine to be the greatest shaping influence in our child's life. Why is that? Well, that's because, like we looked at, God has made mom and dad his agent in the life of the child. And so, mom and dad, you are God's agent. Not the school, not even the local church, but mom and dad, you are God's agent, no one else. So number one, determine to be the greatest shaping influence in your child's life. By the way, that's not going to happen unless you do it on purpose. Because there's a lot out there that is desiring to shape our children. And so we need to determine it. Number two, have the right goals. We spent the last 2 weeks talking about training goals. All training necessitates that it has goals. We talked about whether you're training the dog, what's the goal? Do you want him to sit? Do you want him to roll over? Do you want him to fetch? Do you want him not to go potty inside? Whatever it is, you got to have a goal, because that's going to determine how you train. We talked about physical training. Do you want to run marathons? Do you want to be a power lifter? Do you just want to lose a little bit of weight? Your goals will determine what you do. So when it comes to goals, have the right goals. And when I say the right goals, we mean biblical goals. In other words, we're not looking for good kids. We're looking for godly kids. And there's a big difference. In other words, we are not trying to provide the good life for our kids. We're not trying to lead our kids to the good life. We're trying to lead our kids to God's will. And so you have to know the distinction there. Have biblical goals. Now tonight we are going to zero in on one other part of training, and that is simply this, the target. The target. What is the target of our training? What is it that we are seeking to train when we say train up a child? And the answer might make more of a difference than you might think. So let's look at this idea tonight, targeted training. What is it that we as parents are trying to target in our children? Roman numeral 1, if we could look at it tonight, I want to consider this thought, the idea of surface training. surface training. Now, what do we mean when we say surface training? Now, this is what we don't want to do, but it is targeting behavior. It's targeting behavior. Now, behavior, it is natural to desire to train behavior. Because behavior is what screams at us. I mean, it is the child's behavior that demands attention. Because it's the child's behavior that irritates us. It's the child's behavior that might embarrass us. It is the child's behavior that might anger us, etc. And so when we talk about surface training, those who surface train seek to train or control behavior. Now, I think one of the other aspects of that that we have to understand is this, is that not only is it natural to desire to control or to train behavior, but it's often easier to try to control, contain, or train behavior. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons that the punishment of grounding is so popular. Because what do? You have a behavior that is wrong. A behavior, it might irritate, it might aggravate, it might anger, it might be some violation of a house rule, but you have a behavior that is wrong. And so, what we do when we ground is we identify the behavior, and then we address it. We say, go to your room. And then in essence, there's not a whole lot on the back end that comes else from it. So we identify the behavior, we address it, and we're done. And that's one of the reasons I think things like grounding is so popular among parents, because it's easy. It's easy to identify a behavior, address it, and kind of wash your hands of it. It's always easier to deal with a what than a why. And you see, that's where grounding and surface training fall short. Is because it deals with what has happened, never going beyond to deal with why it has happened or why it is happening. And so surface training, it deals with behavior. And biblically, we've got to understand this, that dealing with just behavior is bad news. And it's bad news for a couple of different reasons. Number one, shallow objectives always lead to shallow outcomes. Shallow objectives, in other words, all I want to do is to control that behavior, lead to shallow outcomes. Let me give you an example. There's a group of people in the New Testament who prided themselves on having the right behavior. I mean, they not only prided themselves, I mean, they were just known for it. It was their mark. I mean, they looked right, they acted right, they smelled right, they attended church right, they read their Bibles right, they gave right, they did this and they did this. Everything by the letter of the law, they were right. Do you know what group I'm talking about? The Pharisees. You know, they thought themselves very right. But Jesus' estimation of the Pharisees was very different. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 25, he said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Woe unto you," he says, "scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Do you see the illustration Jesus gives? He says they make clean the outside of the cup, the outside of the platter, but within. Have you ever pulled a cup out of the cupboard and then looked in it? Hopefully you didn't immediately put it back in the cupboard. Put it in the dishwasher. But I'm going to tell you, just because the outside's clean, is that good enough? No. And so when we have shallow objectives, I just don't want you to talk like that. I don't want you to act that way. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. And we seek to control behavior. Shallow objectives get shallow outcomes. And you know what? A lot of times, you can control their behavior. But what happens? You get things like hypocrisy, which is not commendable. It's condemnable in God's word. You get things like manipulation. How many of us know that some people are really good at acting one way in front of this parent, or in front of this parent, or in front of the teacher, but are totally a different animal with this other adult? You know what that is? That's manipulation. Or how about this one? Resentful compliance. It's the old, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. All of us have been there. All of us have seen it. But what we have to understand as Christians, as Christian parents, that as we seek to train our children, the target is not their behavior. Sitting on the outside but standing on the inside is not good enough. Doing good when there's a cookie for reward but refusing to do good when there's no reward is not good enough. Shallow objectives lead to shallow outcomes. And the bad news here is that it's because it fails to assess what's really going on. In other words, the kids are upstairs fighting, all right? The kids are upstairs fighting. The shallow objective is for the parent, who might look a lot like me at times, to stand at the bottom of the stairs and says, "Hey, don't talk to your sibling like that." You know what? Might they quiet down? Sure, sometimes they do. Sometimes not. But whether they do or not, why is that ineffective? Because the real issue is not the fact that they are yelling at their brother or that they are yelling at their sister. The real issue is what's in their heart that is producing that action. And to say, stop yelling, don't talk like that, it may address the behavior, but it does not address the real issue. And so surface training, it is focused on behavior. The behavior that screams for attention. The what. But it's bad news because shallow objectives lead to shallow outcomes. I'm going to tell you, I saw this so vividly with one of my kids once. And it's one of those where we had one of those instances where the siblings just couldn't get along. And I don't know, maybe one of them took a toy from the other, maybe hit one of the other. I think it was actually took a toy and hit him with the toy. But I'm not sure, okay? It was something. And so we took that child aside and dealt with that child, okay? Dealt with that child, dealt with the action, and dealt with what it was that had happened, and you can't do that, and we can't treat people that way, and we dealt with the action. So then after we dealt with the action, we went to deal with the attitude and the anger and the hatred that was in the heart, the selfishness that was in the heart. And I will never forget the response I got. We went from dealing with that action, and as soon as we went to dealing with that attitude, that body tensed, those little fists clenched, and started to shake. Did not want to acknowledge that there was anger in their heart. And I said, we need to pray and ask Jesus to help us. I don't want to. You see, there's a big difference between what has happened and why it is happening. And surface training only concerns itself with that behavior. And the problem with that is shallow objectives lead to shallow outcomes. And you might get a little hypocrite. And you might get a little manipulator. You might get a little resentful compliance. And if that's good enough for the moment, I'm going to tell you, the fruit that it will bear in the long run will be heartache for years to come. So it's bad news because shallow objectives lead to shallow outcomes. Secondly, I want you to consider this. Because fleshly methods develop fleshly motivations. Fleshly methods of behavior control develop fleshly motivations. In other words, you know, things like, we'll call them bribes or contracts with kids. They're popular. You know, Johnny, if you do this, we'll give you two pieces of candy. Or Johnny, if you don't scream too much in the store, we'll let you pick out something on the way out. Or Johnny, if you stop cutting your sister's hair, we'll buy you a new toy. Whatever. You take out the trash. You make your bed. We got bribes and contracts, right? Well, what are you doing when you seek to control behavior with bribes and contracts? You're appealing to their what? Their selfish greed. In other words, if what's in it for me is good enough, then, buddy, I'm interested. If what's in it for me is not good enough, well, then I just might not be interested. And so when we seek to train our children, and we do so with things like bribes and contracts, in essence, we are teaching them to do what? Operate on their own selfish greed. What's in it for me? You know, one of the other things that we do sometimes is, bottom line, you know, we talked about the thing of authority and that God has invested in us authority. It's not just because we're bigger, stronger, smarter, and faster, you know. But we are, aren't we? We're bigger and we're stronger and by and large, we're smarter. And so, you know, sometimes we even take pride in it, don't we? We call it the look or the tone. You watch, sometimes I can even do it from up here. They're in the song service and it's like boom and they're. But you know, we might use force. Now we shouldn't do this, but sometimes parents use anger. They get upset when their kids misbehave. And so they use that anger as a tool to control that child's behavior, which is wrong. Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, period. And so we use force, we use anger. Sometimes we raise our voice and we expect them to respond. How are we teaching them? What are we teaching them to respond to? How are we teaching them to respond? Out of fear. Out of fear and not godly fear. What does the Bible say about the fear of man? Proverbs 29, it bringeth a snare. That'd be Proverbs 29, 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, we can think of any number of fleshly methods. But the problem is that fleshly methods develop fleshly motivations. So what we have to understand is this. You know, when we look to control behavior, we are not assessing what's really going on in the heart. And by the way, this is great for any of us who work with kids ever. When we look to control behavior, we are not assessing what is really going on in the heart. The problem with this, I think that's bigger than all of that, is this. You're still affecting the heart. Whether or not you're considering the heart, we are still affecting the heart. And fleshly mechanisms or fleshly methods will develop fleshly motivations. And we are teaching children to respond out of greed. We teach children to respond out of selfishness, out of fear. We teach children to respond. And these are unbiblical responses. We are teaching children to respond unbiblically. So what's the answer? What is the solution here that we seek to accomplish? If we're not looking to train the surface, where do we train? Roman numeral 2, train the source. Don't train the surface, train the source. And here it is, the truth of the heart. You know, the most profound issue is not the conduct at hand, but the contents of the heart. And we do well to remember that as we rear our children. Now, the issue at hand is not so much the conduct at hand, but the contents of the heart. All behavior is a reflection of the heart. And all actions are reflections of those attitudes. Can we look at a couple of verses together? Proverbs 4 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse number 34. He said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of thee," can you say it with me? "Abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Look at what Jesus goes on to say. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So you know what? When we say things, Jesus teaches that the things that we say have their root in our heart. In our heart. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said this about the heart. He said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." And so the actions that we see have their origins in our heart. Proverbs puts it this way, Proverbs 27 and verse number 19. It says, "As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man." In other words, Proverbs here gives us this illustration. It's like when you kneel down and you look at your reflection in the water. When I look into a pool of water, do you know what I don't see? Frank Wiesner. You know who I don't see? Amy Holmes. You know who I don't see? I don't even see Christopher. When I look into a puddle of water and I see a reflection, what reflection do I see? I see me. When I look into a mirror, who do I see? I see me. And how silly would it be for me to look into a mirror and say, "That's not me. I'm so much better looking than that. I'm so much skinnier than that. That's not me. There's no way. No, something wrong with that mirror." How silly would that be? That'd be pretty silly. I mean, that's like pretty blatant denial. You know, the Bible says just like when you look into that mirror, you look into that pool, you are going to see your face. You want to know what you're really like? You look into that heart. And that which you see in that heart is that which you are really like. You cannot overstate the importance of the heart to the man. That's why it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Because that which is the heart is the man. The attitudes of the heart make up the actions of the man. And honestly, this is why, and it makes it so simple. This is why the greatest commandment that makes everything else make sense is that according to Jesus in Matthew 27 or 22, that we love the Lord thy God with all of our hearts. With all of our soul and with all of our mind. Why? Because you cannot overestimate the impact of the heart on the human being. All behavior is a reflection of the heart. All actions are reflections of those attitudes. You cannot overstate the impact or the source that the heart is to all areas of life. Somebody said, and I think wisely so, that at the heart of every problem is a problem with the heart. The prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 17 verses 9 and 10. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The Bible says that our heart in its natural state is deceitful and wicked. Do we understand the truth of the heart? And you know what? We can spend a lot of time harping on Junior's behavior. And we can come down on that behavior and come down on that behavior and come down on that behavior and may even have success modifying that behavior. But if we only address the behavior and we never address the heart, then we never really help to train Junior. The truth of the heart. How important it is for us as parents to sometimes be able to look past the intensity of a moment and to see the bigger picture behind it. The truth of the heart. So you know what it behooves us to do as parents? It behooves us to target the heart. To target the heart. How do you target the heart? A couple of things. Number one, expose it. Expose the heart. Our children need to understand that their hearts in its natural state is desperately wicked. That apart from Jesus Christ, in their flesh, there is no good thing. We need to help expose the heart. Proverbs 21 and verse number 2 says this, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." In other words, it's not hard for us to justify what we do, is it? It's not hard for me to justify what I do. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, even more so for kids who have very little sense of boundaries, who have very little maturity, have very little sense of an understanding of right and wrong and delayed gratification. In their eyes, of course it's okay. No, no, no. Because it's not their rationale that makes it right or wrong. Who is it that determines whether it's right or wrong? It is the Lord and His Word. Expose the heart. The heart is targeting something. In other words, all of us and our hearts, all of our hearts are aiming at something. The aim of the heart is going to produce the attitudes of the heart. The attitudes of the heart produce the actions of the hand. The aim of the heart determines the attitudes of the heart. The attitudes of the heart determine the actions of the hand. So expose the heart. Expose the heart. To hearken back to the illustration we use, the kids fighting upstairs. It's why it does very little good to just yell, "Don't talk to your sibling that way." Because it never once helps them to identify the selfishness, the anger that has taken root in their heart. Expose the heart. Help them to understand the depth of the depravity that is in them. You know what it's going to take, though? It takes time. You can't do that yelling back at them. It takes truth. In other words, why would your rationale be any better than their rationale? You've got to give them God's truth. Truth that is greater than them and truth that is greater than you. Their reasoning and your reasoning hold nothing compared to this truth. It takes time. It takes truth. It takes tenacity. Expose the heart. And once we have worked to expose the heart, we engage the heart. You see, it's not enough just to reprove it. It's not enough to just say you're an angry, greedy, selfish, lustful, vengeful sinner. You're a terrible person. Okay, go play. It is not enough just to expose the heart. You have to then engage the heart in a positive biblical way. And church, this is the answer. What is it that we're training? What is it of the child that we are training? It's not the behaviors. It's not the relationship. What is it that we are seeking to train? We are seeking to train the heart of that child. And so what do? We engage the heart. We proactively teach them. We practically train them. I want you to see the book of Proverbs, a large part of it, which is written as a father seeking to give his son wisdom, is all about the heart. Proverbs 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Go to verse number 3. The Bible says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart." Proverbs 4 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes," speaking of his words and God's law. "Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Proverbs 6:21, along those same lines, "Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck." Proverbs 23 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge." In other words, mom and dad, what are we training? We are trying to train the heart. What are we trying to get God's word into? The heart. The heart. The heart. The heart. We have to expose it and we have to engage it. I'm going to tell you, as parents, biblically, there's nothing greater than we can engage their heart with than the Word of God. Because it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. You know, in other words, sometimes we just need to kind of get out of the way and let God's Word do a work in the heart. In the heart. And this is where we ought to pray daily. As individuals, as spouses together, as a church family, one for another, that God would give us wisdom. Because how is it? How is it that you engage a heart? Well, I'm going to tell you, that's kind of where it gets sticky, doesn't it? Because you can do everything in the world you want, but does that mean they have to take it to heart? Does it? No. Because they, like you, like me, have a free will. And they can choose to take to heart God's truth, or they can choose to reject God's truth. You can't make them. You can lovingly help to expose their need. You can lovingly engage and direct, but you can't make them. But let me give you an example here that will maybe kind of help it make sense a little bit. On Sunday morning, everybody's going to come in wearing coats, probably. A lot of people will drape them over the back of the pew or set them there next to them or hang them up outside. You know what? If I decided that I wanted to make everybody wear their winter coat, could I make everybody wear their winter coat? What if I got up here and said, "Well, let me tell you something. You need to understand that I've decided and you need to listen. And Phil, you need to go put on your winter coat right now." Does he have to go put on his winter coat? No, that's silly. I don't have the authority to tell anybody to put on a coat except for my kids. And they would look at me and say, "Dad, where's your coat?" I'm just kidding. They wouldn't do that. That'd be disrespectful. Be like, "It's in the closet. Put yours on." So, no, I couldn't make anybody put on a coat. You know what I can do, though? I could have my good friend Darrell Davenport turn the thermostat down to about 50. In other words, you can't make them. But by God's grace, you can create such an environment in your home that they can't help but engage it. They can't help but feel it. They can't help but be influenced by it. You can't make them put on that coat. But you know what? By God's grace,
everything about your home and everything about your relationship, can do everything in God's power so that they can't help but be touched by that which you have provided in God's grace. Does that make sense tonight? And you know why we expose their heart? We expose their heart so that we can engage their heart and point them to Jesus. To point them to God's grace. To a God who doesn't give facelifts. A God who gives heart transplants. So they might say like David did in Psalm 51 in verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Train up a child. It's about the target. The target is not the behavior. The target is not the surface. The target is the heart. You know, I was interested to find out. I've never been sailing, but I have read that the direction of a sailboat is not dependent on the direction of the wind, but the trim of the sail. And you know what? That's what we're trying to do. We are trying to train or to trim that heart toward the things of God. Us, mom and dad. Us, to train and trim that heart. Hey, if we don't, somebody else will. If we don't, the music will. If we don't, the TV will. If we don't, the friends will. If we don't, the social media will. To trim that heart towards God. And so it's the heart. It's the heart. Look past the irritation, look past the aggravation, look past the anger, and see the heart. Expose it, engage it. And you know what the goal is? This is the goal. The goal is that you and I, as moms and dads, as grandmas and grandpas who have influence, can train their heart, can train them to train their heart, so that one day they can guide themselves. Proverbs 23 and verse number 19 puts it this way. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Isn't that going to be a great thing, mom and dad, when one day we can tell our children, you know what? Based on the training you've been given, and by God's grace, you go guide your heart in the way. Isn't that the goal? That our children get out and be capable of guiding their heart in the way. If we're going to get them there, we've got to take responsibility for it now. Just a couple verses later, Proverbs 23 and verse number 26, the writer says this, my son, give me thine heart. And that's the challenge for tonight. Moms and dads, could we pray that prayer? My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Some of us, that scares us because we don't know what we'd do with it if we had it. Because the what is a whole lot easier than the why. It's a whole lot less complicated. It's a whole lot less messy. It's a whole lot more convenient right now. But some of us, by God's grace, need to accept this challenge to step outside of our comfort zone. Pray for the heart of our child, to seek the heart of our child, to expose it to its need, to engage it towards Christ, to create such an atmosphere that no matter where they end up, they can't help but have been touched by the targeted training that you, as a mom or dad, a grandma or a grandpa, gave them for the glory of God. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it.